You're listening to Inside Out, and this one's all about sign language, which is going to be interesting as we're all in different parts of the UK and none of us can see each other. I'm Emma Tracy and I'm in Edinburgh. Then we've got Beth Rose and Damon Rose in London. Hello.
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 And then we've got William Magger in Bristol. Hi, William.
Hi. Hello there. Good morning.
But that's not even William's voice, because William's deaf and he's speaking through an interpreter, Joe Taylor. And I never know whether to say hello to the interpreter. I never know what to do there. Do I? Do I say
no,
hello?
No, yeah, of course you can say hello to the interpreter.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, hello.
That's weird. It sounds just like William.
It does. So William works at the BBC. What's your job, William?
I work as a series producer for See Here. It's a long-running BBC programme for deaf people presented in sign language. It started 36 years ago, and when it started off, it was presented in a mixture of speech and sign language, but the way the programme has been presented over time has changed throughout the years. So it's presented mainly in sign language, but our contributors range from those who speak and also deaf people who use sign language. So a whole range of people on the spectrum of deafness.
And you got in touch with us, William, when one of the biggest viral videos of the week came along, and it was all about kids learning sign in school.
That's right. It's a very hot topic at the moment.
And that was something that you told us was close to your heart. Tell us why that is.
My experience growing up, I had no exposure to sign language whatsoever or to other deaf children. So I only acquired sign language when I was in my 20s. But now, looking back, I feel very much so that at least some sign language or any sign language back then would have made life much easier for both me and the hearing children that I was in school with. Up until my 20s, I felt quite comfortable using lip reading and speech, or whatever methods of communication. I realised very much so when I learnt sign language, it was actually much easier in many ways to use sign language to speak to somebody, and also for comprehension. So sometimes when I use my own voice, I always feel a little bit like I'm not expressing myself as well as I possibly could. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I swing both ways, let me just say it like that, in terms of communication. Sometimes I'll happily chat to people and use my voice and lip read hearing people, but then other times when I'm talking to deaf colleagues, perhaps, I'll use sign language.
Yeah. Beth and Damon, do you know sign language at all? I don't know any sign
language
at all.
No, at school, probably about year 10 or 11, around GCSE years, we did get taught the alphabet and a few really, really basic symbols, but I think that was just as an aside, really. And I did remember it for a little while, but actually kind of didn't really have cause to use it. And I don't think any of my friends learnt it or did that module either. But it was quite fun. It felt quite empowering and exciting to be able to have this extra language. And I do actually think it would actually be very useful, because in London, some of my colleagues are deaf and use sign language. And it would be nice to actually just kind of chat to them much more easily.
Yeah, and interpreters are wonderful, Joe. Yeah, wonderful. But it would be nice to we have Paul in our office, and sometimes it would be just great to chat to Paul in his language. It's not frustrating because he has a fantastic interpreter, but there is still someone in between.
Yeah, absolutely. We've organised a regular sign language class for hearing staff here at BBC Bristol. So we have about 20 or 30 people involved every week. And it's really lovely because now, just sometimes you bump into random people around the building and they say hi, they sign hi, good morning. And, you know, you're able to have a brief conversation in sign language. And additionally, they've started to come up with their own ideas for their programmes to include deaf people and include sign language. And I think, kind of, if you think about it starting small, it can spread and have that kind of ripple effect.
That's what they say, isn't it? Get some disabled staff in or get some deaf staff in, and gradually ideas and knowledge and understanding spreads. That's the word, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the reasons I like using sign language is because I really like the idea of sign language being seen. So, I don't know, if I walk around the BBC and I'm using my voice all the time and speaking, pretending not to be deaf, then what's the point? What does that achieve? But if I'm going around using a sign language interpreter, being seen to use sign language, other people will see that, and I think they'll be less frightened and less scared of interacting with deaf people and seeing sign language being used.
So as you were saying, communication happens in lots of different ways with deaf people, and you know, it depends who they're with, etc. Now, I remember a time back in the early days of the internet, I was a bit of an early adopter, William. So we're talking about 1994, I was able to use the internet at home. And I used to go on loads of different chat forums and things like that. And I was just kind of getting into sort of deaf and disability stuff and finding it really interesting. And I thought to myself, and you might find the rub here, I thought to myself, hey, this will be great, because as a blind person, me, I will be able to speak to a deaf person for the first time properly, you know, using newsgroup forums and things. But I soon discovered that this wasn't quite the case, because I, you know, at the time, I didn't appreciate the fact that English is not deaf people's first language necessarily. And so using text and chat like that wasn't going to introduce me and help me make friends with deaf people necessarily.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point, because I spoke about the spectrum of deafness earlier. So on the one hand of the spectrum, we've got what we might call the big D deaf people, those who use sign language as their first and primary language. They're comfortable using written English, but maybe not necessarily 100% comfortable, because maybe that could be a barrier for them, which is where we see on Facebook now, we see lots of groups like Deafland UK, whereby users upload videos of themselves, short videos, presenting messages, short comedy videos. And Facebook now allows for so much video content that it's really, really deaf friendly.
It's a funny thing. I mentioned earlier that I was blind. And, you know, speaking with deaf people, I find, Emma was mentioning it earlier, there's a little bit of an extra distance, because I don't even necessarily know that the deaf person is standing there. You know, I can't see that the expressions on their face. I can't see the passion behind, you know, their signing, etc. So all I can hear is the sign language interpreter talking to me, or I can see words on a page. And it makes it feel a little bit difficult to start a relationship with people who've got, you know, very different sensory problems. Because I don't know, William, I think you're a bit of a top bloke, really. I get these emails and things from you, and I think, do you know, I could get on really well with him. But I think, you know, should I ask him out for a beer or something like that? I mean, how on earth would we deal with that?
It's really interesting that you've brought that up, because I've met both of you in person. I've met Damon and I've met you, Emma. And I think, obviously, you're both lovely people as well. And I've always thought about inviting you both out for a drink and having a chat. But I think for me, the problem is eye contact. For me, for a deaf person, that's literally the most important thing. If I'm looking at someone when I'm talking and they look away, I stop talking immediately because I assume that they're not listening. My mum often looks away when I'm talking to her because she's looking for something or she's doing something, and I'll just stop talking. And she says, carry on talking, I'm still listening to you. But when I meet you both, generally you might be looking off into the middle distance somewhere and not looking at anything in particular, so I never know quite if you're listening to me.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
William, are you saying you can't go out for a beer with me?
I would love to go out for a beer with you. I would. And I think for me, what I worry about is whether you'll understand me in terms of whether you'll understand my speech or not. The reason I say that is when I speak with hearing people, they watch me, and I think when I'm watching them, I'm trying to gauge whether they're actually following what I'm saying or not. The other issue with a blind person is that I can't think of any backup options. So I can't write things down if you don't understand my speech. Maybe with you, I could use speech to text on your mobile telephone.
Right. Yeah. And you can't bring your sign language interpreter along because that access to work pays for that.
Well, I think it depends whether they'd want to have a drink as well or not.
Yeah, all this politics.
It feels too awkward to ask Joe directly that question now, doesn't it?
I've never heard your speaking voice, William. Before you got in touch with us about the viral video, I'd never heard you speak, and I didn't even know that that was something that you do regularly.
Yeah, definitely. I speak really well. I can speak. My mum spent a lot of time when I was growing up teaching me physically how to speak. And I think for a lot of people, after they've spent a bit of time with me, they can understand me no problem at all. My son is hearing and he seems to be able to understand me completely, you know, fine, no problems. But I think it's a confidence issue with me.
Yeah, so I have a massive urge to ask you to speak. I actually really, really, really
want
to hear
you
speaking.
Would you like me to say hello?
Yes, please.
Yeah, sure. One moment. I'm just going to have a sip of water. Okay, grabbing the mic.
Hello, Emmett. Damon, this is Billy.
You see, I've actually never heard your voice, and that's really nice.
It's the real Billy.
It's the real Billy Magger. Yeah, exactly. And that's the voice that we would hear if we went out for a beer with you. But then, you see, it's complicated because you do speak, whereas a lot of the deaf people we know and deaf people we might potentially like to be friends with don't.
Yeah, definitely. And I think every person is different. So, I don't know, maybe what other deaf people think about using interpreters or technologies to, you know, use speech to text or something like that. I mean, do any of you guys use handheld communication?
I know when I've been out to the pub, actually, with one of our colleagues who's deaf, he is really into using WhatsApp. So everyone in the pub will be on this WhatsApp group, which gets a bit confusing because you can imagine the huge number of conversations that are going wrong. But actually, that's a really good way of doing it. And you can kind of dip in and out as you sort of move around the room and talk to different people as well. So that was my main experience. Or just back to pen and paper. Sometimes he reverts to that and goes old school.
When I go to the pub and I see, I'm using normal in inverted commas, hearing people, you know, sat opposite each other, looking down at their phones. And you think, it wouldn't look totally out of place.
No, yeah. It looks really normal because, as you say, everyone is always on their phone anyway.
I think it'd be a shame if we all had to go to the pub and look at our phones all the time, because I think deaf people prefer face-to-face communication wherever possible. The only thing I could try and do with you is to be more perhaps tactile, because sometimes, you know, when I've met you before, I feel like there is that gap, there's that physical distance between us, and I'm not sure how we could kind of bridge that gap, whether I should perhaps touch you or let you know that I'm about to speak or maybe let you know where I am. Physically?
I think so. I found myself, and sorry, we're veering off talking about deaf people a little bit, but I found myself occasionally when I don't feel I've got eye contact with somebody. Obviously, I will never have eye contact with anybody, but I have found myself subconsciously recently reaching out and just sort of holding their hand. I know that sounds
really?
A bit weird. No, it's a,
no, no that I don't would really I've... help me. That would really help me. It would make me feel that we've got a connection in some way.
Is it a bit like having a call sign where when you're going to have a chat with someone, you go, oh, hey, or by the way, did you know? Is it just kind of setting that up? It's giving that grounding and then you launch
definitely.
Into what you want to say.
I think for me, a lot of communication is non-verbal. So things like nodding when someone's talking, nodding along, making little noises of agreement or kind of showing that agreement or showing the understanding. And I think when I talk with blind people, I just feel that I can't do that in the same way.
What I've been amazed, actually, with seeing all these different interpreters is when I first joined this team and I met Paul, he had the same interpreter for a while. And you kind of think, oh, I wonder if actually this is Paul's personality coming through or the interpreter's. And then he's actually got kind of maybe five or six men and women who interpret him. And it's definitely his personality that comes through. There's no doubt about it. It's the way he talks, the inflections he uses. And I find that really remarkable.
That's because sign language is so expressive, and it's a lot more expressive than people realise. Interpreters really take on what they see and they translate the message in its entirety, tone, and all of the different elements. It's really hard to believe, but I do genuinely feel that good sign language interpreters create communication for deaf people.
So many conversations go on in our office all the time, within different groups and through groups, and the deaf person sitting in the room must find it really tricky to know that those conversations are even happening and to follow each one. And I'm very interested to know how an interpreter and the deaf person work through making the decisions on which conversations to be alerted to and how much of them to relay.
Yeah, okay. Again, that's something that the deaf person will agree with their sign language interpreter generally. So I might tell the interpreter at the start of the working day, oh, if there's any gossip happening in the office today, let me know. I'd love to listen in on that particular conversation. Or I might say to the interpreter, today, do you know what? I'm really, really busy. I've got so much work on. I just need to focus on my work. I don't need to concentrate on the conversations around me. And that's lovely for me because it presents me with an option.
There was an article in the newspaper this morning, William, that talked about the words that we use now, like slightly more American words, like awesome instead of brilliant, like, you know, us British people used to in the past. And obviously there's various different memes and different things we say these days. I'm just wondering, is there like a popular sign at the moment? Is there something that somebody's using all the time?
For the last probably 15 years, I can remember some signs that have come and gone and signs that literally have no translation available into English. So I could give you some examples now, but it'd be really difficult for me to convey that, I think, on radio.
Give it a go.
There's something that we have in sign language that are called multi-channel signs. So multi-channel signs are signs that are really expressive. They express many English words in a very short sign. So, for example, if you hold out your left palm and you make a chopping motion with the other hand onto it, and you make the mouth shape of ALP, A-L-P, that means, like, really? Are you serious? But there can be so many different connotations to that meaning. So it depends on the facial expression that you convey that with and how exaggerated you sign that particular sign. So, for example, if you did it very small and subtle, that could be like a kind of quiet, like, really? Are you sure? Or if you did a massive ALP, that would be showing genuine shock and perhaps even suspicion that the information you're seeing isn't true.
Are we all doing
we
ALPs?
Are, yes. Yes, all of us, including all. Janet on the fancy technology stuff.
I love this multi-channel I've heard of before, and there's this V, isn't there? Because there was VTV on Channel 4, V, which I think means brilliant, isn't it? If you mouth the word V while you're doing something else, it means brilliant.
Yeah, so take one hand with the thumb up, the other hand, the palm facing upwards, and you bounce the fist off of that hand, and you make the mouth shape of V, V-E-E.
Yeah. You can hear, William, you can hear us all tapping on our hands. It sounds ridiculous.
It sounds a bit like deaf clapping.
Yeah, well, again, deaf clapping is quiet because you literally just put your hands up in the air and you wave them about.
I can see where a thumbs up, as we were doing just then, sort of means, yeah, okay, fantastic, brilliant. But chopping your hand and saying ALP, it seems a little bit detached from those regular gestures that we might understand.
Yeah, but it's a different language, Damon, though.
Well, I know, but where does it all come from?
I think it's really important to make the distinction between gestures and sign language, because actually when I was growing up, before I learnt sign language, I did use gesture quite a lot. I would gesture, I would point to things, I would use my hands, but that was nowhere near the equivalent of sign language. So, for example, in Italy, they rely a lot on gestures in their everyday communication. Gesticular communication is part of everyday Italian language, but still, that's not a sign language in itself.
Going back to the video that went viral, I mean, it's had millions and millions of views, this lovely little video of some kids learning sign language, some hearing kids and some deaf kids. And, you know, one of the most lovely things about that video for me was a girl saying that when there's a lot of noise going on and a lot of maybe arguments or something happening in their house, her and her sister will just start to sign. And they weren't deaf kids, they were hearing kids doing that. What's your thought on that? And is your son teaching it to his friends, etc.?
The interesting thing about my son is that up until now, sign language hasn't been a massive part of his life, because my wife and I sort of switch between speech and sign language.
So I'm surprised that you've not been vehemently teaching him sign language, you know, really strongly encouraging him to know it as a full-blown second language. That's something I probably expected to be the case.
I know. I'm a traitor to the deaf community. Actually, I did start signing to him when he was a baby. We did. And his first sign was milk, but that's kind of a baby sign. The problem is, most of the time, he's exposed to our hearing family and hearing children in his school, and he is hearing himself.
So do you always speak to him, or do you speak and sign at the same time and let him take on board which is easiest?
I speak to him most of the time, but sometimes I'll sign to him as well. I don't know how much of it, though, he actually picks up. But he definitely knows the sign for sorry. He uses that one a lot. I would love it if they started teaching sign language at my son's school, because I very much feel that he has a reason to do it. I don't know, I'd like him to be proud of the language and to see that it's used on a daily basis in his school, which is where he spends most of his time.
Actually see other people using it out in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it for this week's Inside Out. Thank you so much, William Magar and interpreter Joe Taylor, for joining us in Bristol.
Okay, you're welcome. It's an absolute pleasure.
And thanks to Damon Rose and Beth Rose in London.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Coming soon on this podcast feed will be the results of our Ouch storytelling live event. So we'll be posting the stories one by one on the feed over the next few weeks. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us ouch@bbc.co.uk, like us on Facebook, find us on Twitter @BBCOuch, and read more of our stuff on bbc.co.uk/disability. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.